Om, I bow to the husband of Parvati, praise be to Om. We invoke you with offerings, O Lord of the multitudes. We invoke you with offerings, O Lord of love. We invoke you with offerings, O guardian of the treasure. Sit within me. Amarvitve Boshun. Amarmadye Boshun. Giving birth to the realm of the gods within me. Amarandar Divya Swargam Banal DGA. Yes, giving birth to the realm of the gods within me. We are reciting with the Sanskrit mantras Gayatri Trishtap Jagati Jagati Anushtup Pongti Brihati Pushnak and Kakup, which have been demonstrated to bring you peace. So we have 7 meters of Sanskrit that would correspond to the 7 chakras, the 7 levels of heaven. We're going from Bhur, Bhuva, Shwa, Mahajanahata, Satyam. And then we're going from the gross body, the subtle body, the causal body, the body of all the manifested existence, the body of all manifested knowledge, the body of truth, consciousness, and bliss. And these are indicated by the 7 levels of consciousness, the 7 meters of Sanskrit, and these have been demonstrated to bring you peace. Kakub is another name for Gayatri has 24 syllables, the verse Trishtup 32, Jagati 36, Anushtup, no, wait, this is wrong. Gayatri Trishtup, Gayatri has 24, Trishtup has 44. Jagati has 40, Anushtup has 32, Brihati has 40. Pankti has 44. Brihati has 36. And Pankti, Ushnak, Gayatri Ushnak, Ushnak has 28, and Kakup has 48.
Kakup has 48.
Wow. How? These have been demonstrated to bring you peace. They're put in a different order because of the poetry of the shloka. And so I memorize them in order, and you go, Gayatri, Ushnak, Anushtup, Trishtup, Jagati, Pankti, Brihati, and Kaku.
Wow.
And then you can do it all the way around. But they took it out of order to maintain the poetry. We are reciting with 2 syllables and with 4 syllables, with 3 syllables and with 6 syllables, without meter and with meter, as has been indicated to bring you peace. So there are various forms, all the different forms of poetry, all the rhythms of Sanskrit, including no rhythm at all, blank verse.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah. In ancient times, the 7 rishis understood the path by which to return to divinity. Vaishaptarishi, Yeswar Prakurajanya, Dibya Prakashkurajanya, they all knew that they demonstrated, they understood it, they demonstrated, they practiced it, and they gave it, they bequeathed it to us. By consistently perceiving that the natural order of the mind is united with hymns and meters. They consistently perceived that there was a chongdo to the universe. There's a rhythm to creation. And they saw the rhythm of life as one with the rhythm of Sanskrit. And that's how Sanskrit evolved. And so this was the natural order of divinity. If you can unite your mind with the rhythms of life,
wow,
you can be one in harmony with God in every action that you perform. The 7 rishis originally understood this, and that's how Sanskrit evolved. May our waking consciousness replace pain and suffering with divinity, as also our awareness when asleep. Okay, now we want, when we're awake, when we're asleep, when we're dreaming, in all states of mind, all states of awareness, we want all the pain and suffering to be dispelled, dispensed with, got away, get out, varjit, and nirodh, And may a radiant aura of light extend far. Now, take your radiant aura of light. I'm going to take just punj. You take the aura of light that surrounds you and make it extend farther and farther and farther. Because, just like Shankaracharya said in the Sadhana Panchakam, carry yourself like a great ascetic. Shadu bhagdiyetu yegu gotikoi. You carry yourself like a great ascetic. Nothing is going to touch you. You're like the pakalmach we call the fish in the mud at the bottom of the pond. The fish is always in the mud, but he's never dirty. And in the same way we walk through samsara, we walk through this ocean of all. Nothing sticks to us. We carry ourselves with a radiant aura of light. Precedes us, filling our minds with light. So now then we got this illumination. Amrajyoti Prakash Kurchi, Jikini Amrajai. Wherever we go, there's this illumination, and everyone can perceive the illumination emanating. If they don't see it from the yellow sari, then they see it from the Tejas Pooj, the aura of light that surrounds the divine mind filled with light. May my mind be filled with that firm determination of Shiva, the consciousness of infinite goodness. Amarwan, I want my mind, Amarwan and Barao, a Jyoti Prakash. Give me that same light, give me that same goal, that same laksh, that same firm determination like Shiva has. He is the Lord of free will. He makes a sudden kulp, he determines what he wants to do, he defines his objective, he makes the path, he understands the rhythm, he understands the budget. How much does he need to arrive at that goal? May my mind have that same firm determination, that sankalpa. San means all. Kalpa means idea. All the other ideas are merged into the one idea. There's only one idea, and that is my goal and my path. And step by step, I'm going to arrive at my goal. May my mind be filled with that firm determination of Shiva.
Maharaj is mind goal.
Yes, everyone has many, many different kinds of goals.
Yeah, like,
the way that we unite all the goals is we create a list of priorities, a hierarchy. Kanto pratam, kanto dvitiyam, kanto besibari, kanto chotabari. Ki mulya ache, what is the weight? What is the wealth? What is the worth of the attainment of this goal? For example, I love your dress. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
That is my goal.
I love the person in the dress. I love the mind, the thoughts, the attitude, the bhavana, the whole subtle body of the person in the dress.
Okay.
I love the soul that is expressed through the thoughts and attitudes and opinions of the body that is inside the dress. I have a hierarchy.
Okay.
I have a list of priorities. What is most important to me? I would take the lady without the dress. The body is more important to me than the dress.
Okay.
The mind is more important to me than the body.
Okay.
The soul is more important to me than the mind.
Yes.
I have my priorities.
Okay.
You will make your priorities. I have a duty to maintain this body so that I'm not ever a burden to anyone else. I must give more than I take, then I will be spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's one goal. I have a duty to practice my sadhana under the discipline expounded and demonstrated by my guru.
Mm-hmm.
I have a duty to the guru. I have a duty to the gods. I have to make this world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
I have a duty to my ancestors. I have to take care of the elderly the way I will want to be cared for when I'm old, and to nurture the next generation the way I want this world to become. I have a duty to my gurus and all the gurus, and I have to live with the wisdom that they taught me. Which is most important? They are all important. Now, from moment to moment, I have vivek. I have discrimination. I have the capacity to discern which is the most important in this circumstance, right here, right now, at this present moment in time. Maybe. That's for you. That's for you to decide, each of you. Some people will sit here and think, oh gee, what happened to my cat? What happened? Some people will think and sit here and their mind will go off to what is most important to them at this time, at this moment. Is that true? Everyone won't be here listening to me. I bet there are many of you sitting at home right now listening to the kids crying and listening to the TV and having the radio blasting and having your iPad screaming in your ears and say, oh yeah, I'm going to listen to Swami too. Every one of us has to discern for ourselves which is most important at what period of time. At what moment, if you freeze this frame right now, as of this moment, where is your attention? That's the sankalpa. All the ideas are going into the one idea. What's most important in your life? And can you define that yourselves? And not just what you wish it would be, but what is it really in reality? And that's the sankalpa. May my mind be just like Shiva. He's got only one sankalpa. Kalyan. Mangal. Satchit among the prakash. Shiva has only the welfare of all. And the goodness, the infinite goodness to all. And he wants to illuminate truth and consciousness and bliss. May my mind have that kind of a sankalpa, just like she. That's the prayer. Mm-hmm. Number six, the excellent actions of thinking beings. That's all the jitipraniyache. All the people who think, who all that lives, that thinks, that has discrimination, that has an opinion, steadfastly offering their knowledge in sacrificial union. You're taking all that you know and you're making that your sacrifice. It's a gyan-yagya. What is it? Gyan-yagya de artham kocho de. Gyan is our hobby. We're making a sacrifice with the sacred knowledge that we have steadfastly. We are consistently offering our knowledge for the upliftment of others.
Yes.
Is the ancient means of enhancing the wealth of a people. That is the way you enhance the wealth of the people. What is the people's wealth? It's wisdom. Wisdom is empowerment. Yes. Empowerment, I mean, you give a man a fish, he gets a meal, teach him to fish, he eats for the rest of his life. We want to empower the people with wisdom so that all thinking beings, everybody who is steadfastly offering their knowledge in sacrificial union, it's offering in yajna. The purpose of my knowledge is to unite and to bring others and empower others to come into the union. Mm-hmm. May my mind be filled with that firm determination of Shiva. The consciousness of infinite goodness. We have a mind filled with knowledge, with illumination, with goodness, with welfare for all, empowering others to come into that union. Being firm in that supreme wisdom which fills consciousness. The supreme wisdom, not little knowledge.
Yeah.
Being firm in the supreme wisdom, that's the wisdom of unity. How do you bring a harmony to every circumstance in life? That inner light of the nectar of bliss within all beings born? Antarjyoti, Ananda Kotamrita. That with the nectar of bliss, the words which communicate the nectar of bliss within all beings born, it is the universal nectar, that Satchit Ananda. May we perform all actions from that imperishable truth. Esatya, etatwa teke, anupratya kriya kurite. Every action that we perform, we will perform from that imperishable truth. That we have the universal wisdom which unites all beings born in the nectar of bliss. That's the purpose. Amother Hetu, we are motivated by the supreme goal. The one goal is that all the wisdom that we offer, all the actions we offer are offered from the motivation to bring all beings born into harmony and union in the nectar of eternal bliss. Only reason you're going to act. Why would you move this from here to here? Only because you want to bring all beings born into the nectar of eternal bliss. And that wisdom is what you want to use to empower everyone you meet, everyone you know of. Every action is performed from that imperishable truth. May my mind be filled with that firm determination of Shiva, the consciousness of infinite goodness. I'm moving to that. By means of this supreme wisdom, this supreme wisdom, all beings in the manifested worlds of the future will be able to completely dwell within the nectar of immortal bliss. By means of the sacrificial fire, attended by seven offerings on seven levels of consciousness. We're doing this, we're saying this, we're writing this down, we're chanting these mantras, we're remembering this supreme wisdom because we want, just as we have understood, we want to empower all the beings who will come into manifestation in the future. Come on, Hovish. Everyone who will be Jandevi, they will be born, they will be manifested, they will come into Bhakti Rupi Dharan Koribe. Everyone who will assume an individual form, they will be empowered to completely dwell with the nectar of immortal bliss. They will understand by means of the sacrificial fire, and that's outside and that's inside, the fire of wisdom, the fire of knowledge, the fire of light, the fire of purification, the ceremonial fire, fire on every level. The sacrificial fire where I unite, because it's yajna. And yag comes from the root, yuj, it's the same root as yoga, union. The union with the inner fire of purity, of knowing, of knowledge, of understanding, of illumination, of purification. I'm going to make seven offerings, on seven levels of consciousness. And I'm going to give that all to the fire of the light of purification, the supreme wisdom that dwells in manifested existence. May my mind be filled with that firm determination of Shiva, the consciousness of infinite goodness. That's all I want to contemplate in every action. I want to empower the beings that will come into the future. I want to respect the beings that have given us this knowledge. I want every action that I perform to be a manifestation of that supreme wisdom and bring everyone or as many as can come into the harmony of this supreme wisdom, of the harmony and of immortal bliss. That's my contemplation. May my mind be filled with that determination. This is where the Rig Samanyaja Vedas have been established. Rig Veda, can I take you open for you? This is the wisdom of the Vedas. This is the conveyance of the great attitude from where all the highest contemplations of all life emanate. This knowledge, all that we want to do with our every action is bring all of creation into the harmony of immortal bliss. Anything else on your mind? Anything else that's necessary? No, everything that we do is propelled by the motivation, by the contemplation, by the sankalpa, the plan, the firm determination to bring all of life into the harmony and unity of the nectar of immortal bliss. This is the essence of the Rig Veda. This is the essence of the Samaveda. This is the essence of the Yajurveda. The Atharva Veda came later, so it's not included in this shloka.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. From where all the highest contemplations of all life emanate. Do you need to know anything else? The rest is commentary. If you understand this tattva, this principle, if you understand this mool tattva, the root principle of the ideal of perfection, that every action we perform as human beings in manifested existence is designed specifically to bring all other human beings into the harmony and unity of the nectar of immortal bliss, well, what do you need with the rest of the scriptures? It's all basha. It's all commentary. It's all bakwash. You don't need it. Why do you need to study scripture if you're acting from that sankalpa? What's the use of liberation to a person who's already liberated? Only a person who is bound thinks about liberation. Person who's already liberated doesn't have any thought of, I gotta get free. That's not the thought. The thought is, how will this next action I perform, this next statement I proclaim, how will this bring the maximum amount of people into the harmony with the nectar of immortal bliss? One contemplation, one sankalpa, one lakshya, one goal, and all the rest are important only insofar as it furthers my advance towards the propagation of the one goal. Jata prajunta amar e lakshya na prapt koro. Tata prajunta amar e bibinyadi karm korto hobi. But that karm ekta hetu ache, ekta lakshya ache, ki kora amar byabhar diye, amar kormo diye, ami pratyek vyakti ke amader mele dukhi de. How can I invite the entire universe into the harmony with the nectar of immortal bliss? What can I do to advance your cause? How can I help you reach to where you want to go? I don't want to tell you where you want to go. I'll tell you where to go. But it's not my job to tell you where I think you should go. My job is to help you get to where you want to go. To bring you into a greater harmony, into a greater fullness, into a greater state of perfection. Not to tell you that you should find perfection my way. I don't like Sanskrit. I want to do it in Turkish. I want to do it in gibberish. I want to do it in
any
other. So may my mind be filled with that firm determination of Shiva, the consciousness of infinite goodness. He, that Shiva, is the excellent charioteer of the horses of mankind. The horses are the senses. He can drive your chariot. He can control those wild horses that are driving you to pull your chariot forward, awakening them from sloth and laziness to this renewed energy established in delight for both the old and the young. May my mind be filled with that firm determination of Shiva, the consciousness of infinite goodness. So, A mother wrote, he is the chariot. He is the excellent charioteer, Unisarati. He is driving the horses of my senses. He's focusing my senses towards my laksh. He's giving me the sankalp. So if I have a laksh, I can have a sankalp. If I have a sankalp, I can have a rasta. If I have a rasta, I can have a budget. I can budget my energy. I can budget my mind. I can budget my resources. I know where I want to go. I know how I'm going to get there. And now the rest is academic. I don't have to decide every day, do I really want to go there? No, I made that decision. I only have one decision to make. When I say every action of mine is going to create a greater harmony for as many people as possible, a greater unity for as many people as possible, I become the servant of creation. Not to say to creation, you better behave the way I think it's appropriate, but to say, creation, how do you want to behave? Maybe I can help you get there a little more efficiently. I'm sadhu. I study efficiency. I'm an efficiency expert. That's what sadhu means. Efficiency expert. So may my mind be filled with the firm determination of Shiva. A laksha, a shankalpa, a hitu, the motivation and the definition of my life. What are my values? Where is my path and what is a tangent? Good question. I mean, I know a lot of people whose paths are filled with tangents. Until you don't have a laksha, you can't have a path. You need an origin and a terminus. In order to have a path. If you don't have a path, you don't know if you're on it or not. If you don't know if you're on it or not, you don't know where you're going and what you got to do to get there. So then action becomes extremely inefficient. My prayer is, may my mind, I don't care about the rest of you, may my mind be filled with that firm determination of Shiva, the consciousness of infinite goodness, and thus ends the first chapter. First step in our practice. Young, take control. Define the goal, define the path. Neon, make a discipline. Make a budget. Allocate your resources. Allocate your energy. You can't make an allocation unless you know allocating for what. Yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, pratyahara, dharma, dhyana, samadhi, ashtanga yoga. The first step is may my mind grab onto something and say, that's what I want to do. That's the example I want to follow. I want to look like her, I want to sing like her, I want to talk like her, I want to chant like her, I want to inspire everybody else to be as good as they can in being like her. Now we've got a goal, we've got a path. May my mind keep that path with me. Can that be my sacred oath? I know what I want to do with my life. Now the rest is academic. I just have to execute. Let's see if there are any questions. Yes, please.
How would you suggest developing Vivek?
Vivek? Oh, it's very easy. Vivek, actually, I would translate as criteria for discrimination. So you have the action of operating Vivek, which is discriminating, but the more important aspect of Vivek is, by what criteria do I discriminate? Now, if I have a goal, whatever that goal may be, I can discriminate as to what will take me closer to the goal, and what is an idle pastime, and what will actually take me farther away from the goal. So if I want to go to San Francisco, if I end up in Woodland, then hey, I'm not quite going in the direction of my goal. If I want to master the puja, then staying up all night and watching TV or movies on the internet isn't going to take me to that goal. If I want to, once you have the goal, you have the criteria by which to discriminate. What will take you there, what won't. And then the rest is willpower. How do I resist that extra baguni that came with the cup of chai? Now I know that it tastes good and it's so delicious, but is it going to take me to my goal? The goal was tonight that I should sit in the temple and talk about Rudra Stadhyaya. And I know if I had that extra baguni, that would be very, very tasty on my tongue, and it would be very, very filling in my belly, and I would sit here belching and burping and making all kinds of funny noises, wishing that I had that baguni afterwards instead of before the class. That's called willpower. That's, may my mind have that firm determination, I'm not going to give in. Even though it's so good. And just have one bite.
That is your willpower.
No, it's your willpower. No. Oh, the energy of all and everything comes from the Divine Mother, and therefore... And that's how we develop Vivek. We say, what do I really want? My actions are going to betray me. My mouth will say all kinds of good things. I've asked literally hundreds and hundreds of people to write down a list of their goals. But what did they do? They wrote nicely. But what did they really want? What did they really pursue?
Goal is Shiva.
Goal is Shiva, but now every one of us will find Shiva in our own way.
Yeah.
Huh? We'll find it. I mean, you found Shiva by singing to him. You found Shiva by cooking for him. You found Shiva by doing job for him. You found, this is your way. Now, everybody's looking for Shiva, no question. But each of us will have our own mix, our own way, our own budget, our own bhavana. By which...
And that bhavana will be pure intention.
Pure intention will be the motivating factor for how much we can dedicate ourselves to the pursuit of Shiva. Jokona amra shiv ke prakurt chai chi. So it oi baguni kai runa. Ami jani te e amar hishab birudache.
Yes.
Through the bar kurde.
Yeah.
And in many ways, I'm going to refine my mix of disciplines
so
that it is appropriate for me. So it became appropriate for me to sit down and translate Sanskrit. That was my way of loving Shiva. It was appropriate for me to sit down and light the fire 4 years together and to sit by the fire and to chant. That was my way of loving Shiva. It was appropriate for me to sit in the cold and sit in the hot and do various forms of tap. These were my ways of honoring Shiva. Now, they're not better, they're not worse, they're not superior, they're not inferior. Bharachota Duki, Gonahisham Nai, you love to cook for Shiva and sing for Shiva and do puja to Shiva and do job for Shiva. I love to write for Shiva and to explain my love for Shiva and to talk about what the rishis talked about thousands of years ago. This is my way to honor Shiva. That's why we have Gyan Bhakti. And we work well together. Pranam. But because I honor your singing, and I honor your food, obviously. I mean, this, just because I didn't eat the...
Because I cook for Shiva.
I know. But just because I didn't eat the one baguette, that doesn't mean I don't honor your food. I mean, look at me. Obviously, I honor your food. But each of us has our own way, our own bhavana. Our own mixture of different techniques. Sometimes you'll want to meditate longer, and sometimes you want to recite longer. Sometimes you want to do the yajna, sometimes you want to do the puja, and sometimes you don't want to do anything. You just want to sit and look within. All of it is right. None of it is wrong. No one can legislate your love affair with God. It's your love affair. You will express your love in your way, and you'll realize. Because pratyabhyakti vivinyam bhavananche. Though you won't find two leaves on the same tree that are exactly the same.
I know.
You won't find two incense sticks that are the same. There are no complete, perfect copies. In the universe, there is some distinction, some difference between
them. Why that?
Why? Because there is a shamashti and a vyakti. And shamashti means there's the whole, the universal, the one. And vyakti means the individual. And if you only see the shamashti, if you only see the universal, the cosmic, then you see it's all one. It's all the same. And as soon as you see, every one of them are different.
That's God is tricky.
You could say tricky or you could say creative, because this is the expression of creativity. Every one of the vyaktis, every vyakti, every individual, every individual phenomena is different, distinguished from others of its class. Okay?
Very good.
Om Sang Saraswati Nama. Oh, more questions?
Could you tell us just the difference between Vedic Sanskrit and classical Sanskrit?
No, not very easily. I can tell you a lot of differences, a lot of distinctions between the two of them. Vedic Sanskrit has a different type of grammar than classical Sanskrit, which is what we call modern Sanskrit. So Vedic Sanskrit, it has a lot of constructions which are not used in modern Sanskrit anymore. Vedic Sanskrit also has a tone or a tune or a swar, which is noted annotations above and below the characters. And I didn't maybe in my stack of books, but definitely in my office I have some examples of Vedic Sanskrit. And you will recognize many of the characters, but you won't recognize them all by a far stretch of the imagination. There are many characters that exist in Vedic Sanskrit that do not exist in modern Sanskrit. And there are usages in Vedic Sanskrit that are no longer used in modern Sanskrit. So there are many, many distinctions, many differences between them, not just a few.
Just asking about our sankalpas, when we do fail in our sankalpas, as you said, we're all kind of expressing our bhavanas in different ways, and sometimes we experiment with something and we fail. What is the result of that?
Oh, the greater understanding of what your sankalpa proposes to be, what works for you, what doesn't work for you, what you can do, what you, where you need to work, whether you want that kind of bhavana or not, whether it's important to you or not, whether you want to try it again in a different way, or whether you could, I mean, there are just so many lessons to learn from that. And little by little, you'll create your path. Just like Ramakrishna said, jyotamototopot, as many as there are individuals, so many are the ways to God. Each one of us has to create our own bhavana, our own mix. You'll take some things from Ma, you'll take some things from me. You'll take things from each other, you'll take things from books, you'll take things from other traditions, you'll take things from your childhood, you'll bring them all into your old age, mix them all up, and make sadhana according to chandana. Sadhana according to ekatmana. None of us will have exactly the same sadhana.
Why do you have to bring perfect thing, not khichdi?
No, it's true. Well, even khichdi is delicious if it's cooked properly.
If I do that in action.
Well, I agree. I know your way is through cooking. My way is through eating. Om Sang Saraswati Namah.